Today's episode of Dog Nation Daily is presented by Kroger. More ways to save fresh food, low prices at Kroger.
Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
I have had a great time over the last 48 hours, and that, really it's the last couple of days when I've noticed this, that it seems like Georgia fans are just frothing at the mouth for Florida on Saturday. And that's exactly the way that I feel that it should be. I have really, really loved the buildup. Now, I'm like all of you. The wait for the game always seems to take a little longer than you want it to. The wait to kind of be in Jacksonville or Amelia Island or St. Simons, wherever y'all are going, for those of you lucky enough to be at the game, that always feels like it takes, you know, a little time. It's like waiting on Christmas when you're a kid, I guess. But while we are waiting, on 3:30 for kickoff on Saturday, to watch the way the Georgian fans have kind of been talking, to watch the way that Georgia fans are kind of getting ready for this, my thought is this is exactly the way that a rivalry is supposed to feel. Y'all know I love rivalries. I think that Georgia's lucky to have a lot of good ones. I think Florida's the number one rival that Georgia's supposed to have, and I think that this week the buildup has been exactly as it should have been. Georgia fans ready to go out and just take on a lousy, stinking group of Gators on Saturday and go out there and prove that Georgia is still the bull of the woods in the SEC East. And I was kind of thinking, as a way of kind of getting ready for today's show and the fun we're going to have, so why is the buildup especially big this year? Maybe it's not. Maybe I just want it to be. Maybe it's just me who's excited. But one way or another, the sense that I get is, man, this is really ready to go. Georgia fans is really ready to go out there and make an impact on their half of the stadium on Saturday. And for me, it kind of comes down to three reasons. Now, I was also thinking about this before the show started today. Sometimes I have a tendency when I do three reasons this, five reasons that, I have a tendency to kind of get busy talking and not actually enumerate all the reasons. So let me make sure today I don't do that. I think there are really three reasons why Georgia fans are just rock and roll ready to go for Florida exactly as they should be. First thing is this. It's a chance to prove the media wrong. You know, media has really lined up behind Florida here in this game. Now, betting public, as we've been saying, kind of on the side of Georgia, that matters to me. Those are people that put their money where their mouth is. Media folks, for the most part, just spew hot air, and no one ever remembers what anybody else says. But media kind of lining up around Florida, and if beating Florida is not a prize enough of its own to beat Florida and then show the media how wrong they were, Georgia fans always like a dose of that. In fact, somebody sent this to me on Twitter yesterday. I think this is funny. If you're watching on video, of course, you already noticed I've got Gator Hater t-shirt on and my Gator Hater hat on, courtesy of my friends at Onward Reserve. I'll show you this as well. And, of course, if you're listening radio podcast, I'll describe it to you. So much like they do for the NFL games, the CBS Sports Network college football show picks Georgia, Florida. And here across the board, you see all the various picks. You got Brian Jones and Rick Neuheisel, Aaron Taylor, Randy Cross, Gator logo next to every one of their names. So on the CBS Sports Network college football show that you may or may not have ever seen before, all four of the people on the show all pick Florida to win the game. Now, for those of you that are big NFL fans, you know that anytime NFL Today or the Fox NFL show, anytime it's across the board logos for the one team, typically it usually works out for the team not pick unanimously. It works out for the other way. We'll see how that works out on Saturday. But that's a pretty good example that somebody sent to me on Twitter of, just look across the board here, all these CBS guys picking Florida in this game. The ESPN folks have really not been much different. I played this for you the other day as a reminder of the fact that ESPN's right there with CBS thinking this may be a day for Florida to assert itself. Go back and listen to what Kirk Herbstreit said a couple of weeks ago.
You said the Gators will win the cocktail party. You favored them over Georgia after we saw them lose close at LSU.
I like Florida. If they get healthy on defense, I really like Florida. I just like the way Kyle Trask is playing, and I think I'm not throwing Georgia out. I just think Florida's the team to beat. Georgia's got to get their downfield vertical pass game.
Is that a Coley thing or a wide receiver thing? Or
I can't figure it out. It's not Jake Fromm. I don't think Jake Fromm's proven he can throw the ball downfield. I don't. The receivers haven't. I don't know. I don't know if it's the OC or the receiver, but they can't get the ball down the field.
So we'll get more into the Georgia offense part of this a little bit later on, but you hear Herb Street say there, I think Florida's the team to beat right now. In a previous ESPN show, he said, best one-loss team in the country, ready to go out and prove that there in Jacksonville. So start making a list of all the folks who have kind of given up on Georgia and assume this is now, you know, one of the also-rans of the SEC. Herb Street, the CBS guys, you know, I'm sure you can think of your own examples there as well. Everybody kind of lining up around Florida. Georgia fans get a chance to prove that wrong. So that's reason number one, a chance to prove the media wrong by beating Florida on Saturday. Here's reason number two. And you always see a lot of this time of year, and I like the history of college football. I don't always love the history of Georgia-Florida, though, because we know that, you know, some of that for Georgia has been unfortunate. Long stretch of not doing well in this rivalry. And I saw where Urban Meyer was kind of back at it again within the last week or so. Meyer, I guess, is trying to be a Florida guy again. Now, at one point in time, he faked being sick to get out of Gainesville, but I guess now he's decided he wants to kind of get back in on the Gainesville thing again. And so he was talking about how much fun he had in the 2008 win for Florida over Georgia. And, you know, Steve Spurrier is always around talking about that kind of stuff. Chris Lowe wrote this week at ESPN.com about the 95 win for Florida there in Georgia. And for the Gators, they've enjoyed a little bit of history over the last couple of decades. And it always kind of comes up this time of year. Of course, I'm old enough to remember when Georgia was dominating the series back in the 80s when I was a child. And that was really fun. And I think that Georgia fans crave, and one of the things that's made the last 2 years so much fun is that it's been kind of a return to what Georgia fans expect the Georgia-Florida rivalry to be like. And one of the reasons they feel like they have so much at stake in the game on Saturday, one of the things that kind of ignites the passion for this game is a chance to kind of get some payback on whatever Urban Meyer might have done and whatever Steve Spurrier might have done. That Kirby Smart kind of becomes a nemesis on behalf of Georgia for the blue and orange the same way some of those other guys were for a UGA back in the past. Georgia fans have an appreciation for that. And the history and the payback for Georgia from some of that history is, I think, an important part of this, too. And then finally, the third reason why I think that Georgia fans are kind of ready to go and excited about, especially the ones that are lucky enough to travel down to the game, is I think we get a sense that one way or another, the landscape of college football is changing. And hot topic, closely debated, tightly debated in terms of, is Georgia-Florida supposed to remain in Jacksonville? Some people think it's not. Some Georgia fans think it is. But one way or another, the winds of change may blow here at some point in time. And so I get the sense from some of the Georgia fans that I've talked to that while the game is still in Jacksonville, while the cocktail party tradition is preserved, then you better take advantage of that opportunity. You better let it rip and go down there and play your golf and spend some time at the beach and hang out and enjoy a beverage or two and get ready to be raucous and wild in the stadium on Saturday, that you don't know how many more of these kinds of opportunities you're going to get. But I think on Saturday, Georgia fans looking to get ready to enjoy all of that. In fact, as kind of a build-up to that, Kirby Smart even said this week that people think because he's pushed the recruiting part of the home-and-home so much that maybe he doesn't like Jacksonville. Well, Smart said this week that's not exactly the way that he feels. Here's what Kirby Smart said about that then.
First, the misnomer there is that I don't want the game in Jacksonville. That's not a case for me. I look at it through. Like, I love playing. It's one of my best memories ever as a player, being able to do that. I think the landscape of college football is such now that your home and homes are so valuable as you go out and try to find other teams to play. When you play these other teams that we're playing out in the future, you got a home and home, so you got one less home game. The team that you used to buy to come play you, you're going to have one less home game. So now with us, every other year, it may be two less. So it makes it tougher in that perspective. But I also think the financial significance of this game and also the historical significance of this game weighed in the factors. And the administration felt like that was the best thing to do. And I'm 100% on board with it. I'm a team player. And I always said once the decision was made, it's made. It's a two-year commitment. We'll continue to see where it's going in college football. So I think as you look across the board, you see more and more kids committing on these official visit weekends where they go to a home game, and they're really important weekends. You know, we just have one less shot at those. That's the toughest thing.
So when you hear Smart say that, hard not to imagine that one day Georgia-Florida may look and feel a little bit different than it is right now. But while it is the way that it is, the cocktail party tradition that so many UGA fans have enjoyed, a chance to go out and appreciate that one more time and get another big win over Florida here in this deal. Let me also take care of two more pieces of business before we transition and talk about something different. Been saying this a lot. I am going to be in the stands tomorrow for the game. You know, I've got Gator Hater t-shirt on today. I got Gator Hater hat on today. obviously we're trying to pull out all the stops and do everything we can to give some positive vibes for Georgia, because around here we just believe this is the game for Georgia that matters more than any other. I hope to be able to take over the Dog Nation Twitter account tomorrow, some videos, some comments, some things like that, and kind of narrate the experience for the game from the stands. Can't wait to do that. So we'll have more details about that in and around the day tomorrow, so stay tuned. Also, before I kind of change the channel here and switch gears, can I throw out some congratulations here for a moment? You know, talk about sending out some positive vibes and getting the weekend started on a good note. How about the UGA soccer team? Now, I'm not the world's biggest soccer fan, but how about the job of them last night getting a 1-0 win? We say 1-0. Okay. I'm not the world's biggest soccer fan, but I'm a big fan of seeing Georgia beat Florida. So I'm going to give a huge shout out to the soccer team here for a 1-0 win over Florida. First time beating the Gators since 2008. Connor Riley had a pretty good story up about that at dognation.com. So always fun to beat Florida. Always great to get the weekend started on a high note. And I just get the sense that Georgia fans are ready to go. I'm right there with you all. Can't wait to see you in Jacksonville. Or if you're watching the game on television, can't wait to experience it all with you over the course of what I expect to be a very fun weekend. My name is Brandon Adams. It's Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented by Kroger. Good to have you with us live on video, 10 a.m., Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Radio Noon, Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, and as a podcast wherever you find them, including the world famous DogNation.com. And really appreciate Kroger being here with us as a part of this program here today. Let me remind you about something really cool Kroger's got going on right now. They got your pets covered this week. You know, they take care of people, they take care of pets as well. When you spend $45, you're going to save $15 on mix and match pet products, including food and treats for both dogs and cats. Make sure you check that out. And of course, Kroger going to be a big part of everything Dog Nation does for the most part, including Dog Nation Invasion tomorrow. Y'all, unbelievable experience. For those of you lucky enough to be a part of it with us, can't wait to share it with you. It's brought to you by our friends at Kroger, Peach Pass, R.S. Andrews, who we do the cool down with on our video side each and every day. Y'all, it's just going to be a big part of the cocktail party, Dog Nation Invasion tomorrow. Can't wait to see a bunch of Gatorhater t-shirts around. All of it brought to you by R.S. Andrews, Kroger, and our friends at Peach Pass. All right, we're going to get Jeff Sintel in a minute. Before we do that, let's go around the doghouse here today, brought to you by Merriweather and Tharp. And I think it's been kind of interesting to watch the way the perception of this game has changed over the course of the week, not just in terms of who's going to win or lose. Georgia's been a favorite at one point in time, a six-point favorite, then down to about 3.5, and then back up to about 6 again. And depending on where you look and when you look with our friends at MyBookie, you're going to see various numbers on that. But also in terms of the overall point total, the expected points, it's been slowly dropping through the week. Some of that may be weather-related. We'll get more to the into the weather forecast, the expectations for that, a little bit later on in our show here today. But some of this may be just based on the fact that the perceptions out there that Georgia only wants to try to win this game with as low a score as possible, and kind of that, you know, phone booth style street fight situation, that maybe the Kirby Smart led Georgia offense not exactly what it should be right now, which means Georgia will be limited in this game. In fact, earlier this week, Kirby Smart faced even more questions, as he has the last few weeks, about the current state of his Georgia offense. Here's what Smart said at the time.
I think we've been able to put a lot of our backs in good situations to be able to win, do things. I think, again, at wideout, it's tough because wideout, we haven't had a – there's not been a core group that's just been there every game and been able to do it. Cager's the one guy you can make a case has made some plays when he's been available and made some plays on 50-50 balls. We've got to be able to do that because of the way people play us. We're going to have to continue to do that.
So obviously Georgia's going to run it a lot, we all expect that, but still have to throw it some. And Kirby said there is when that happens, more receivers, hopefully with the group that you want to have on the field, not hampered by injury, you have more guys that are able to kind of go out there and win those one-on-one battles. That may be true against any defense, maybe especially the Florida defense because of the style in which Todd Grantham plays. Smart also addressed that this week.
They do a great job of rushing with their four guys and allows them to do more coverage-wise. They've got some alternative pressures and different looks, kind of like we do defensively, where it might look like pressure, but it's not. It's called simulated pressure, but they don't have to do that as much because of the four guys they got rushing, especially the two guys on the edge, are really elite when it comes to pass rush. So they do a really good job of that, and those guys get after the passer. I mean, as good as anybody in the country, it's obvious with their statistics.
It's important to know that the Todd Grantham defense that Smart describes there is a defense that Georgia has handled in each of the last 2 years, with Grantham at Florida a year ago, at Mississippi State the year before that. And obviously, Georgia, from a personnel standpoint, is a good bit different because of all the receivers that it's lost. But I actually think there's been an overreaction this week in terms of how limited the Georgia offense might be in this game. Now, I've been critical of this group a little bit, and I think justifiably so, over the course of the last couple of weeks. But the chorus that's kind of joined in on that, some of it directed by the media, some of it still within the pocket of Dog Nation with the fan base, I think at this point in time has probably been overstated. Let me give you a quick comparison. I told you before that the expected total points been kind of going down here in this game. At one point in time, 46.5. In some places now, you can find that at like 44.5. The combined score for both these teams, only 44.5 points. By comparison, Ole Miss Auburn, the over-under for that game is 52.5. Did you see the Auburn offense last week? Have you seen the Ole Miss offense in a lot of the games that it's played thus far this year? You really expect fewer points in this game than that? Now, weather completely changes all that a little bit, but if we assume that's not a factor for right now, I think people are actually underrating the Georgia offense in this game. I don't expect Georgia to win this game by scoring 50 points necessarily, but stalling out and, you know, hoping to win a field goal game, 13-10, something like that, that's not been the Georgia history in this series the last couple of years, nor in the last couple of matchups against Dan Mullen and Todd Grantham. So file that away, and let's see if the Georgia offense doesn't play a little better on Saturday than some people might think it's able to. It's Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger. It's also around the doghouse here, brought to you by our friends at Meriwether and Tharp. And obviously, this is a fun weekend. Everybody's thinking about happy stuff, but if you find yourself dealing with a relationship issue, obviously that's not a happy time for you, and it's the kind of thing that you've tried to put off maybe talking about and being serious about. But if you feel like that you're on the verge of maybe getting a divorce, first of all, I'm so sorry for you, and our certainly prayers go out to you and your family. But here's also the advice that I'll give you. You want an advocate on your side, and your source for Georgia divorce are our friends at Meriwether and Tharp. This is the kind of thing where expertise matters. This is the kind of thing where thousands of cases being handled leads to just a level of knowledge that you're not going to get by some fly-by-night company that does this and a thousand other things. Meriwether and Tharp knows the law backwards and forwards when it comes to this. So trust them. You can find them online at theatlantadivorceteam.com, theatlantadivorceteam.com. No one's more generous than our friends at Meriwether and Tharp in terms of doling out advice and creating a relationship that can put you back on the path to me feeling whole once again. All right, it's great to have you here. It's Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger. More on Kirby Smart and Dan Mullen a little later on in today's show, but for some recruiting stuff and everything else, let's talk to our buddy Jeff Sintel right now.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
All right, we will do a lot of Georgia-Florida stuff with Jeff Sintel. Obviously looking forward to having him as a part of Dog Nation Invasion this weekend. Of course, our Pella Window post-game show after the game, and I'm sure throughout the weekend of the Dog Nation Forum and everything else. Jeff, I hope you're as excited as I am to be on the road to Jacksonville a little bit later on today. Entire Dog Nation team kind of going together, almost like a mystery machine type thing. Looking forward to all of that, and glad to have you with us for it and here on Dog Nation Daily today as well.
So, Brandon, which one of us is Scooby and which one of us is Shaggy? I mean, Maybe Eddie is going to be Scooby, I guess, and we got to feed him Scooby snacks down the road.
Yeah, I think that's about right.
Should be very interesting going through South Georgia, going through Valdosta today.
Yeah, I'm probably the nerdiest member of the Dog Nation team, so that might make me like Wilma. Is that her name, the one that wore the glasses? Wilma? That might make me Wilma. I don't know who gets to be Fred, the cool one. I guess you're probably the coolest one, so I'll let you be that.
That's Daffy, sir. Come on. I hope everybody's going to get on his back about it. That is the only thing Brandon's going to get wrong.
I thought the pretty one was named Daphne. What was her name?
Thelma?
Yeah, the pretty one's Daphne. The one that has the glasses is, I think it's Thelma or Velma or something like that. I don't remember. I don't quite remember. I think the pretty one was Daphne. Now, I don't think there is a Daphne on our bus, unfortunately. I don't know that any of us would qualify as pretty in that regard, but nonetheless, we'll be rolling down the road a little bit later on. And, Jeff, before I kind of get more into the Georgia-Florida stuff with you, because obviously that's what I want to talk about a lot today, I'm kind of have that on my mind, let me do one recruiting thing first. Now, maybe I'm just in a good mood, but I thought that the edit that Georgia sent to Noah Sewell was really pretty cool. Now, once again, this is video. You can see it. If it's radio podcast, I'll describe it. But you got the American Samoa flag on one side, the Georgia, kind of G flag on the other, the kind that the cheerleaders bring onto the field every game. He's kind of almost like busting through both of these. They're both kind of, you know, blown in the wind with the smoke behind it. Leader knows the way, goes the way, shows the way that it says. I think that's actually a pretty good use of a social media department right there. I kind of joked yesterday about some of the weird stuff that Florida sent out this week. Give me Noah Sewell paying tribute to his heritage and reminding him that a leader would blaze his own trail and come to Georgia. Give me that kind of artwork more so than some of the weird stuff that I've seen from some of the other schools, Florida included here. I like the Sewell edit. Now, some people told me they didn't think it was quite as cool as I did, but I kind of like it, Jeff. I thought that was a pretty good job for Sewell there. Did you agree?
Well, Brendan, that's one of the, I guess, unsung heroes of every football support staff now, is those edits that keep the recruits really steeped and really woke about a program. And, you know, Georgia sent out a lot of edits this weekend about Halloween. I'm sure everybody's seen the acts with a lot of Georgia's players. But that was a definitely original edit for Noah Sewell. And if you read Dognation.com, you'll know what both those flags mean. One of those is for American Samoa, where he moved from with his family to Utah when he was 10 years old. And the other one is that Georgia G. And, you know, Brendan, you got me thinking about who's going to be the pretty one on our drive down there. For the rest of the weekend, we're going to call the pretty one the Georgia offensive attack. We're going to call that the good-looking one in the group for Dog Nation this weekend.
Yeah, I don't mind that, Jeff. I think that's a pretty good idea. Let me also say this, fair and balanced to be full disclosure here. So I kind of made fun of Florida yesterday for its Halloween theme. Yeah, exactly, right? I take the bait on that every single time. You know, I said that I would, if somebody had sent me one of those Chucky doll things on Twitter, I would have reported them. It seemed more like a threat to me than a recruiting pitch. And then admittedly, I did go back and see later on, and I actually wrote about this when I posted the podcast at dognation.com yesterday, that Georgia had kind of done the whole axe thing with Joshua Braun and maybe some others as well. Joshua Braun's just the one that I happen to have seen. So admittedly, fair and balanced here, Georgia got into the Halloween game a little bit too yesterday. For some reason, Jeff, I like the Georgia part of this a lot more than I like the Florida edits here. I don't know what that's about, but I guess the Georgia stuff I happen to like just a little bit better.
Okay, Brendan, now I've got to do my due diligence as an objective reporter here. I know it's going to be hard, but I'm going to ask you not to speak as someone clearly objective on this game, but to put yourself in the shoes of a Georgia football fan here. I know that's going to be hard. Might require some De Niro chops, but I want to ask you, do you prefer would you say that the Georgia edits are a little bit more classier than the Florida edit team at this time of the season?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that whole, like, Chucky doll thing that they do is just, like, really dark imagery. And it kind of goes along with a couple years ago, they had that, like, tiger skeleton on the field. You know, back when their rivalry with LSU was especially hot. I think Florida has embraced a lot of, like, really dark imagery, which I just don't really like. I think the Georgia edits, for the most part, are kind of sleek and classy. And I think it's befitting a program like Georgia as opposed to what I think of Florida.
Well, that's exactly what I thought you would say, man. Hey, how about did you check out Carson Beck's stat line last night? He had another great game, and Carson Beck is definitely trending upward. Must be all that yoga he does, just like yourself, Brendan.
But yeah,
over his last five games, the touchdown to interception ratio is a very Brady-esque 15-1.
Yeah, I saw some of the highlights. I didn't see the overall stat line, but based on the highlights that I saw kind of passed around, it certainly seemed like he was playing pretty well. And that's kind of a nice, I guess, bridge for us to talk about Georgia Florida here for a moment, because you've written about this a lot at Dog Nation this week, that, you know, Georgia has impacted the state of Florida in recruiting this year and probably had a negative impact on the Gators because of that. The success the last couple of years gives them a chance to have a better inroad with a guy like Carson Beck, better inroad with a guy like Jalen Carter, probably. Warren Brinson, I'm sure they would, you know, love to have. And, you know, Georgia gets that. In fact, you know, Brinson may have actually kind of trolled Florida with the way all of that went down, to say nothing of some of these offensive linemen that Georgia have kind of gone out and gotten from that state there. And, you know, Kirby said that this week, that, you know, there's going to be a lot of overlap with these two teams anyway, that you know, guys on one side have been recruited by the other. And the point that I made, Jeff, also is some things in college football are a coincidence. I'm not sure this is. The fact that there are so many instances of this series not really being closed, the winner decided by more than two touchdowns, to me that just speaks to the zero-sum nature of Georgia versus Florida, that the school that collects the most recruits gets them at the expense of the other, and therefore the losing team is just going to find itself facing a little bit greater gap. That was true in 2017, 2018. Georgia certainly hopes that's true in 2019 as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, Brandon, to me this doesn't seem like, and I'm just going to speak what I feel here, it doesn't seem like Georgia goes head-to-head against Florida all that much anymore. It seems like Georgia goes into Florida and identifies the elite players it wants, and Florida tries to get in there at the same time. When you think about recruiting rivals these days for Georgia, I think about maybe two or three programs. I think of Ohio State, I think of Alabama still, and I think of Clemson. Those are the schools that Georgia kind of goes mano a mano. And you got to throw the new Stone Cold Fox on the recruiting scene. That would be LSU in there as well. But those are the schools, by and large, that it seems like Georgia goes up against. And, Brandon, I'd be curious to hear your opinion. You know those things on Twitter where everybody says, you know, I'll use a cleaned-up phrase for it, but hold my red Solo cup and let me see what I can do? It certainly seemed like in the month of March, April, and May, June especially, where it was almost like the Georgia program was calling its shots with a lot of its recruits, where they were gonna like Jalen Kimber comes to mind, Josh Braun, who would have been Florida's top offensive line target this year. You got Marcus Rosemead, you got Carson Beck, you got Warren Brinson. It seemed to me like for the longest time Georgia was trying to do its talking on the recruiting trail rather than its talking in off-season headlines, which is what Dan Mullen was excelling at.
Yeah, I want to respond to that in a moment. But first, let me tell you about my friends at the Atlanta North Georgia Building Trades Council. You know, the ANGTBC is dedicated to the work and economic stability of organized construction workers in North America. This is a very important organization for those of you that do this kind of work for a living because they create more work opportunities, living wages, they protect your benefits for all construction workers. You can also earn while you learn with no tuition apprentice training. I'm talking about as much as $100,000 while you're serving your apprenticeship. They also offer employer paid pension and insurance, and the wages are up to 30% higher than non-union workers. The great news is this isn't just for men. Women also encouraged to apply. Everyone encouraged to reach out. So let me give you a couple ways to do that. Find them online at GeorgiaConstructionCareers.com. That's GeorgiaConstructionCareers.com. Or can I see that phone number one more time for the folks who are listening? 404-584-0005. That's 404-584-0005. So, Jeff, I think it's interesting that you bring up the whole talent thing and the way in which Georgia kind of really beat up on Florida in the early stages of the 2020 recruiting cycle with some of the guys that committed to Georgia and the ways in which they committed to Georgia. But really, when I just kind of, you know, spin that forward for the game on Saturday, I think one of the storylines is, does the talent gap still matter? Obviously, Georgia lost a game a couple of weeks ago where it had an even greater talent gap. You know, South Carolina's got some defensive guys that can certainly play and would play for Georgia. But for the most part, a lot of those Gamecocks were guys that Georgia had passed over. The same thing with Florida here as well. A lot of three stars in the field for the Gators, lots of fours and fives for Georgia. The talent gap has mattered for Georgia a lot. That's why it's dominated the East the last couple of years. I think one of the subplots underneath the overall larger narrative of who wins and who loses is, does the Georgia talent gap that Kirby's worked so hard to create, does that still matter? Not because I don't think he can out-coach Mullen in a head-to-head situation, but part of the ways in which Smart has out-coached Mullen in the past is how he's deployed the overall better talent. So does the talent gap still exist? That ends up being, and does that talent gap that does exist still matter? That ends up being one of the biggest storylines of this game of all for me.
Yeah, and you know, Brandon, for me, you know, there's a lot of things about I guess it's just worry. That's just the best way to say that. There's a lot of worry about, you know, Georgia, Florida, especially with these new pass rushers coming back. Well, you know, those guys coming back healthy, but you know, except for Greenard, the young man that transferred in from Louisville, a lot of those guys were on the field last year. Florida actually lost three of its better defensive linemen off last year's team as well. And that's one of the things I put in the Dog Nation forum today is I dug up a copy of Georgia's Florida travel roster for last year's game. And then I compared it to what kind of Georgia will bring this year's game. Now, of course, there's a clear hot-button issue that the wide receivers Georgia brought to Jacksonville last year are a better, more experienced pairing than this year's group. But then again, Georgia really just spread the ball around. I think Holloman had a couple of big touchdown catches. Nobody had more than 75 yards in that game. Fromm threw for 240, but they made those big clutch conversion catches. But by and large, if you look at a lot of Georgia's roster this year compared to last year, it shows to me, like, look at the players that are gone. You see a lot of, you know, dependable Bulldogs, you know, guys like Keon Richardson, Natress Patrick, Jackson Harris, Jason Stanley. You see a lot of those guys that, you know, were pretty good. Juwan Taylor, let me make sure I get that guy in there as well. But, you know, aside from that wide receiver group, you see Georgia replacing them with bigger, more athletic, more skilled, just more explosive athletes. Especially on the offensive line, most of the key particulars are all there. And there's only about four or five names. Jonathan Ledbetter would be one. DeAndre Walker would be another one. There's only about four or five names that actually got down in the trenches and were responsible for either defending the box for Georgia or, you know, basically Georgia's all frontline offensive line personnel are all back, except they're a year bigger, faster, and stronger. You got to think Fromm's made some gains. You got to think Swift has made a lot of gains in their game since a year ago. It just seems like looking at those names outside of the wide receiver group, that Georgia is bringing a better roster and a more talented roster to Jacksonville this year than they did last year.
I think that's true, and we'll finish up with this. You know, I've been critical of the Georgia offense. I think a lot of people justifiably have been based on the way that it played against South Carolina. But I also think whether you're talking about angst from fans or you're talking about criticism from the media, we've kind of now overcorrected on this. I talked about that before you joined us here a moment ago. You know, any good statistician will tell you, when you have a really predominant outlier, the best thing to do for your prediction is to throw that outlier out. And I think that's what the South Carolina game was for Georgia. It was a horrible outlier of putrid play, but other than that, the Georgia offense has kind of been okay. I think the Georgia offense is going to at least be okay on Saturday because, for now, I'm content to throw out the outlier, which is the South Carolina game. Now, you can say, well, that's wishful thinking, and maybe on Saturday night I'll end up realizing that, and maybe the Gamecocks game wasn't quite the outlier that I hoped that it would be. But for now, I actually think that the Georgia offense enters this game somewhat undervalued. I don't expect them to score 60 points necessarily, but I don't expect them to sputter for 13 or 14 either. I think the total's too low in this game. I think the expectations of the Georgia offense are too meager for right now. I actually expect this group to play a little bit better than some people think, Fromm included, wide receivers included. We got a few seconds left. How do you want to respond to that?
Yeah, Brandon, I think one point I want to make with that, all that is, I mean, you know, nothing against the beat writer tribe that covers Georgia. They're very hardworking professionals. They're seasoned at what they do. They're definitely getting at the talking points and the angst and trying to bring the worries of the fan base to the players. But when I watch that, when I watch it, it's on the Dog Nation YouTube channel. Jake Fromm's press availability on, I believe it was on Wednesday with the Georgia beat crew. Man, I think folks forget. It seemed like they were talking to him like maybe Jake Fromm will be able to put his hands and grip the football the right way across the laces of the football. I mean, it's almost like there's a measure here where I understand where all this is coming from, but I think the thing with Fromm is everybody keeps comparing him to the best two or three or four quarterbacks in college football, and everybody's going to have their pointed opinions on that. But by anyone's estimation, Georgia is bringing in a top four, top three, top two quarterback in the SEC to this football game. He's faced an Alabama defense that's just as good or better than this Florida defense twice. It's faced an Auburn defense that's pretty good and just as good as this Florida defense as well. And that when he was younger in his game and wasn't the player he is now. To me, it just kind of seemed like everybody expects Fromm and the Georgia offense to maybe put together a 1-for-11 for 8 yards like that 1980 Sugar Bowl performance, and they're just going to pound the ball and run the ball all game with the ground game. I think this is another one of those times in Jake Fromm's career where he always has to step to the line, put 10 toes down, and just excel and blow everybody away and remind everyone that he is one of the best quarterbacks in college football.
Yeah, Jeff, I think that's good stuff, and I think there's, you know, certainly going to be a lot of attention on Fromm on Saturday to see if he does just that. Can't wait to cover it with you this weekend. Can't wait to talk to you about it on the way down to the Florida First Coast here today. Looking forward to being in Jacksonville tonight. Dog Nation Invasion tomorrow. I live for this weekend. I love it, and I'm glad to share it with you, Jeff. I look forward to seeing you later on.
All right, guys, quick reminder, official visit watch, South Georgia's own Zacchaeus Walker is taking his official visit this weekend to Auburn. Next weekend will be Alabama. That's another name to pay in mind for the 2020 class.
Good stuff, Jeff. Thanks for being here. Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger.
See you later.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
So Jeff drops a nice little Zacchaeus Walker note there at the end. Walker's one of those guys, if you watch Before the Hedges presented by Kroger during the week, kind of climbing the ranks of that top target list. It seems like Georgia's really identified the remaining defensive lineman it wants. Walker's one of those. Obviously, Jordan Birch out of Columbia, South Carolina is the other big name that's out there right now. And I guess we'll follow these official visits for Walker coming up soon. A lot of times the unofficials are a little bit more telling and predictive than the officials. Guys like taking their officials, and it sounds like Walker's going to enjoy himself the next couple of weekends here. But maybe Georgia's starting to feel like it's in okay shape for Walker as we head towards the finish line of the 2020 class. Let me talk about some other games here for a moment, though. SEC Through Time, it's our MyBookie Best Bets. And my friends at MyBookie are a great way to enjoy the action beyond just Georgia-Florida. Get some bets down on some of the other games there as well this weekend. And obviously everybody wants to be a winner. The great thing about MyBookie is they give you a chance to be a winner before your first bet's even placed, before your first bet's even won, because when you sign up, you get a big first deposit bonus. I'm talking about doubling your first deposit, getting up to $1,000. That's what MyBookie can provide. But you've got to use the promo code DOGNATION. All one word, spelled the way it's supposed to be. DAWG. Find MyBookie online. Use the promo code DOGNATION and get yourself a big, big first deposit bonus when you use my friends at MyBookie. By the way, enjoy some in-game NFL wagering with them there as well. All right, let's roll through our MyBookie best bets. We'll also do more of this later on today on Go With The Flow, presented by R.S. Andrews. Connor's been hot with his picks. Connor Riley, you'll be able to hear him and share his thoughts on these games later on. I'll give you some of my thoughts right now. Let me start Mississippi State and Arkansas. This may seem like two terrible teams and a game not worth paying attention. I do believe there's a clear edge here, though. I think 7.5 points is too many for Mississippi State on the road here in the spot. You know the story for Arkansas. They've lost 13 straight in the SEC, all of them the Chad Morris tenure. But given the fact they're a big underdog virtually every single week, they've actually done better against the number than you might think. 6-7 against the spread over the course of those 13. Mississippi State was a road favorite a couple of weeks ago at Tennessee. They lost in that spot. Tennessee was easily better than Mississippi State. Why in the world would Mississippi State play better now than they did then, given how bad they've been the last couple of weeks? I think Arkansas plus the 7.5 is a pretty clear play here. I kind of like the Hogs, not necessarily to win the game, but to keep it within the two-score number the 7.5 requires. Let's talk Auburn-Ole Miss a little bit. I took Auburn last week, and I covered with that number at LSU. However, I don't expect to be quite so easy against Ole Miss on Saturday. This is an Auburn team that gets to exhale now. All its remaining games are at home. They in this spot before, week before a bye. They've actually not done that well under Gus Malzahn. Failed to cover in three of their last four games the week before a bye. In this relaxed spot, I think they're kind of in a tough spot here. The Ole Miss defense may be better than you think. 39th, according to the SP numbers from Bill Conley. The Auburn offense, you know that it struggled. They've scored 50-plus three times, but in those other games, they failed to score 30. I don't think they score enough to cover 18.5 on Saturday. I like Ole Miss to keep that one a little bit closer. The Vandy-South Carolina game, I don't have a strong play on this. I'm going to lean on the fact that South Carolina under Will Muschamp has been pretty good against the spread. They are 17-12-1 in their last 30 SEC games, but this is the first time they've been a double-digit favorite in SEC play since Muschamp became coach there. Outside the SEC here for a moment, SMU-Memphis, another game where I don't have a great play on this one way or another. I think it's a pretty fun game if you're flipping channels during the Georgia game on Saturday. SMU's not been good against Memphis. They're 0-5 straight up and against the spread in their last five. That doesn't really matter because a lot of that predates Sonny Dykes. A lot of that kind of goes back to the Chad Morris regime. This number opened at 3, moved to 6 pretty quickly, which means somebody thinks they know something about Memphis. The telling game for me here is that Tulane, who's 41st in the Football Outsiders FEI, Memphis beat them 47-17. They also played a close game, beat Memphis 15-10. So they've won a couple different games against quality opponents a couple different ways. For the most part, everything for SMU has been high scoring, kind of overcoming a defense that's given up a lot of points. Like I said, not a strong feel for me in this game, but I will take Memphis there on that, minus the 6 points at home. I think the Sunflower Showdown between Kansas State and Kansas is really fun. Kansas is better than you think. You know, the Kansas State offense comes in ranked 40th in Football Outsiders FEI. Kansas not that far behind at 47. So for Kansas State on the road after beating Oklahoma a week ago, be very careful with the Jayhawks here in Lawrence. Kansas under Les Miles actually covered its last three games. I think they keep this one close against Kansas State there as well. This is a pretty good game, I believe. Kansas offense pretty fun to watch. Give me the Jayhawks there. And then finally, the two big Pac-12 games, Oregon going to USC, Utah going to Washington. I probably like the Washington side of this the most, but on those two games, I think you may take both underdogs outright to win on a money line. Hope for at worst a split, maybe at best you get them both. That would be my advice on there for entertainment purposes only, but good luck to you this weekend with my friends at MyBookie. Use the promo code DOGNATION. Those are our MyBookie best bets. And we will look a little more closely here on Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger at the weekend's worth of events going around the cocktail party in just a moment. For now, though, let me kind of get back to the Georgia-Florida matchup here on the field and the coaching match between Dan Mullen and Kirby Smart. And listen, I don't know that Kirby Smart has time to read bulletin board material, has time to kind of soak some of that kind of stuff in, but there has been some of that lately. I've heard coaching mismatch being used to describe Mullen versus Smart. That if it's a close game and it's late, you just know Dan Mullen's going to outcoach Kirby Smart. That's not exactly what Reese Davis said on TV not all that long ago, but boy, when it comes to being impressed with the coaching acumen of Dan Mullen, the guy that the media loves to tout as having done more with less, I think Reese Davis on TV not too long ago, you know him from ESPN's College Game Day, I think he did a pretty good job kind of calcifying exactly the way that a lot of media types feel about the just the coaching acumen of Mullen. Let's give you a reminder here.
But I'm sure that there are play callers in the country who are Dan Mullen's equal, but I'll take him up against anybody. I think there's no one that is clearly better. Mm-hmm. He has a great sense of timing, whether it's a trick play or setting up a play and so forth. And it's benefited the Gators greatly a couple of times when they couldn't block the opposing offensive or defensive front, especially in that Auburn game.
Can you imagine what what Lincoln Riley or some of these guys may think about when they hear Dan Mullen being described as the best play caller? No one's better than him in college football. I like Reese Davis. I think he's out of his mind with that particular take. However, this week, Kirby Smart was asked. Defensive-minded Smart, offensive-minded Mullen, the battle of wits between these two guys. How much does that matter in this game? And Smart gave a pretty detailed answer on that.
It's a chess match every time you go against somebody. It boils down a lot more to players than it does X's and O's. He always has a very physical football team. They believe and they have a commitment to the run game. They always seem like they have downhill, low center of gravity backs, very similar to what he has now. He had at Mississippi State, big physical offensive line. He never abandons the run. He's always going to be able to run the ball. He always has a quarterback that can run the ball, especially whether it's short yardage or packages with Emory coming in for him. And he's got as good a wideout group that he's ever had that I can remember, and he's using those guys' skill sets. I mean, he highlights those wideouts he has because he has so many. I mean, I don't know how to better say it than to say that he has a complete offensive package right now with what he has, so he has the ability to use all those guys.
So listen, I mean, obviously, as Kirby said, Mullen has been good at using the guys that he has. And at Florida right now, he's probably got better offensive talent than he's had in the past. But Kirby also said in that same clip you just heard that ultimately the game boils down to the players, a lot more to the players, he said. Not the chess match between Mullen and Smart, but the players. And I talked about this with Jeff Sintel a moment ago. My bet for now, even though Georgia struggled a little bit, my bet for now is that the talent that we thought that Georgia had at the beginning of the season, it still matters more now. I'm not going to be fooled by a black swan event, a loss to South Carolina, kind of a weird, random outlier, at least for now. We may get more data and find out that's not quite as outlierish as Georgia fans hoped that it was. But for right now, that's your black swan. That's the thing that sort of sticks out and kind of doesn't really match the rest of the data set. For now, I'm not going to be fooled by that. For now, I'm going to kind of go back to where we were in June, July, and August. Team with the better talent is Georgia. I believe that Kirby Smart's right. The talent matters more than whatever the media thinks that Mullen is from a play-calling standpoint. That's why I like Georgia to win this game on Saturday. Let's do our Kroger kickoff. You know, around here, getting ready for the weekend means leaning on our friends at Kroger, stocking up for whatever party you might be having, whatever birthday party you might be going to, whatever else. You know, Kroger just helps you get ready for all of that. They also help us get ready for the weekend here as well. And for us this weekend, that means is cocktail party time. Let's give you a little bit of an update on all this. Of course, Kroger, a part of Dog Nation Invasion, from 11:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. tomorrow. Then with dog walks slated to go around 1:30 or so, we'll be there for the Kroger kickoff. We'll give you more. I'll tweet some more details about the gate information, all that kind of stuff. But we'll do dog walk live on video tomorrow as part of our Kroger kickoff at 1:30 p.m. Of course, the game itself, 3:30 p.m. Keep your eye on the weather here. Right now, according to what I saw online this morning, 67 degrees for a high. There is a 40% chance of rain. Tough to know exactly how that's going to work out, but for now, there's at least a little bit of a chance of rain in the forecast. So pay attention to that, both for your own enjoyment and for how it impacts the play on the field. We'll keep watching that. Then, of course, after the game, Pella Window postgame show from the field will react to everything. What we hope is a victorious night for the Georgia Bulldogs against the Florida Gators. And of course, our Kroger kickoff is brought to you by our friends at Kroger. Great news here. Kroger is introducing free pickup at all stores right in time for a busy holiday season. They want to take care of your time, give you some of that time back. You can shop the Kroger app, the website, and you can place your order in person and pick it up. It's all with a free pickup. I think this is a great way for those of us who are busy this time of year. Kroger taking good care of you. So check out Kroger.com, the Kroger app, for a lot more on that. All right, y'all. We've reached the finish line. The week is done, at least for us. For those of you getting ready to wrap up your work day, enjoy that. For those of you coming down to Jacksonville or somewhere around the Golden Isles, wherever else, Georgia Coast, Amelia Island, hope you have a great time. Hope you enjoy it. These are the serious, serious moments. An unbelievably big game for Georgia. Wouldn't want it any other way than when we got it. A chance to share it here with a great team at Dog Nation. You heard from Jeff Sintel a little earlier. Of course, Connor Riley, Mike Griffith, everybody else, Michael Carvel back in our studio. We're all getting ready for a big one on Saturday and looking forward to sharing it with all of you. Hope to see a lot of you around Jacksonville here this weekend. And on Monday, I hope to once again be talking about our Gator Hater Updater. Here's where it sits now. 1,098 days. We expect to still be watching it climb on Monday. I'll share it with you then. Thanks for being here, Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger.